No, you don't
stop me on the way. So, if everybody has a sheet, we're going to start counterintuitively on the part that's not a new perek, but on the other side of days. I just sort of, we were looking for something to learn. I don't understand that this is the regular Inyan Limud, but just something for Yontiv that I felt would be meaningful. And the Maral, one of Maral's firms called Mesivas Olam, it is, deals with specific Inyanim, each Perek Torah, Avodah, Gnos Chesed, Din, Tzedek, etc. And Shuv is one of the Nesivim. Even though it's one perek, the mamorim are loosely connected, but you really don't have to know each unit, each piece is self-contained and has its own nekudas. And I wanted to learn one that I thought was very important. It's on Amud Kufin Gimel, on the first column on that Amud, Vomerish Lakish. Basically, it deals with the following. It deals with the chazal of this, that there's a tshuva that makes the donos like struggles, and it's true that it makes donos like skuyos, and explaining the difference between the two and why and when and where and so on. V'amrish lakish g'doyla tshuva shes donos nasem kishkogos shenema shuvi yisrad Hashem alakecho ki choshalta bavanecho. So the pasuk shuvi yisrad Hashem alakecho ki choshalta avain is amazed who v'karele michsho. So you convert zodon to shkogos, which in itself also, even as a statement by itself before the contradiction, it needs an understanding why Shkaga, one of the Maral's main yesodos is that Chazal were not speaking in sort of broad, floppy terms. I remember many years ago, I mean, when UPS started, I guess, delivering packages, it wasn't one of the things I tried hard to remember. They had an advertisement, the difference between them and the post office. So a fellow goes to the post office and says he wants top priority mail. Fine. When will it get there? Probably Monday. So what does word probably mean? So it's better than possibly and less than certainly. That was it. Whereas UPS, of course, gets their second day guaranteed, and that. That was the. But there's a certain sense we have when we learn Chazal, because they seem to be so difficult and kind of stalkish in terms. Why is it like shkogos? I mean, you know, a person does tshuva, it should be forgiven. Okay, it's, you know, a little bit more, a little bit less, and it's annoying. So you feel that's not as real in halacha, in the chelik gemara that deals with halachic issues. Things are very precise. You know, when it says a date is a date, a time is a time, and a place is a place. Here it seems to be a general, this is a little more, this is a little less. And the Maral is coming very strongly to give it a much sharper meaning. When Chazal say that if you do it, it's like shkagos, there's a reason why they pick shkagos and so on. Okay, let's continue with this, the Maim Chazal of course. Eini, v'amish lakas g'doyla tshuva, shazdoynas nasem kizchiyot. Shenema ubeshuv rasham rish osay. Loi kasha kami ava kami yira. So you have a Maima Chazal that says there are two levels of tshuva. Tshuva meyira and tshuva meava. Tshuva meyira takes your avonos from mezit to shogeg. Tshuva meava takes it from mezit to schuya. That in itself is a palatika thing. How do you make something good out of it? But al kapanim, the understanding, the difference between the two, and what's the madrega of shkogos and what's the madrega of schuyos, is going to be the point that he's going to deal with. Dovazel mevur me'atzmo echzonah ha'shkogos ki lefi madregas umayos ha'tshuva shushav al Hashem Yisparach asha ha'tshuva magas ha'tis ha'kavot. He explained before, and we'll sort of recap a drop. It says before that tshuva in the Maim before reaches the kisa kavot in Ad Hashem Elokecha, or lefikach nechshav achet shkoga Doima l'misha hoya bilti yediya v'kona v'achakach madregas al-yoyna sh'nase chocham. L'fi madrega al-yoyna sh'kona nikra ma sh'osa koydem ze sh'osa b'shkoda. Let's talk about this and let's explain a little bit of akdama where we're going with this. When we speak of a person doing tshuva, you are righting a certain wrong you did. It can happen in many levels. So let's say somebody breaks the table, can fix the table. So that is the simplest level at which it expressed itself. The table is broken. Let's say I broke somebody's table, and then I put it together again. I fixed the thing I broke, but my feelings towards the other person, the desire to damage the other person, the not being careful, all of those things may or may not have been affected. So if we were to speak about tshuva simply as, until now I used to do this avera, I no longer do it. No, the alternative to tshuva is doing something without any substantial and conscious change. So until now I was lax in a certain mitzvah, and then I decide to stop being lax. So I've sort of fixed, I'm now doing something good, but I haven't touched any of the inner workings of what brought that affair about. You find somebody who may be rough kind of at the edges and so on and so forth, and life sort of teaches him that he needs to be more of a mensch, but there hasn't been any of the inner mechanism that's changed. What is that inner mechanism? If we're to trace a sort of pathway from the person's self to the person's activities, the rider on the horse, so to speak, the part of the person that is directing what should happen, we will refer to it loosely as the person's das, his understanding of the situation, his evaluation of the situation, his perspective on it. That's the person's seichel das in the general sense of the word. So when a person does a maisa and he does it midas, that's called an avera b'mezus. When a person does something, and it's not as if he does it accidentally, we're simply not, but he did it, but he made, his das was mistaken about it. He thought if that in this case it's mutter and it's not, that's called a shogeg. So a shogeg works like this. Between the person and the avera, there's a leash, and that's his das and that's his seichel. It was mistaken. And therefore, when you replace the mistaken piece, you've in a fundamental way addressed the issue. So the reason why you did this on Shabbos is because you thought that this is mutter on Shabbos. You now understand the mistake. You flip around your understanding of what's mutter and what's aser, and now the maisa the maisa was a shkaga because now you understand differently. It's replacing that circuit that was off that has changed. So that is the diagram of shkaga. When a person does an avera b'mezid, what happens? Yesterday I used to do this and this, and now I decided to make a change. So what has changed? Well, one thing is, I've been shown, when somebody shows me that something is wrong, but the thing a person can show me is seichel. A person who's a good psychologist will sit down and say, listen, you want this and this. You want to be popular. You think that by annoying people, you're going to be popular, or by, I don't know, throwing money at them, you'll be popular, or whatever it is. Well, it's a mistake. It's because this is what happens, and look around you at this and that, and that piece between you and what you do, which is the seichel. You know, it's because I want to be popular that I've decided I'm going to do X, Y, or Z, when someone shows me that that's wrong, then I replace that piece, and now I've righted it. So shkaga means a mistake, and the mistake is the seichel and the das of the person who wanted to fulfill a real need of his, a real rutzen of his, and the person is wrong in his thinking. Now, let's explain. So this is the darga of yira. Yira means, it's not yira to onish we're talking about here. It's more when HaKadosh Baruch Hu foists an awareness on me. When a person is confronted with emet. Yira is HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing the truth in a certain sense. And therefore, I'm forced to recognize that I was wrong. So the that's the darga of yira, and we ask ourselves, so all those activities that you did were wrong. What about them? I say it wasn't a correct das, because had I understood correctly, now that my das is fully operative and I really understand it, I'm doing things differently. I want to add a point to this. This is a point he's going to be making now. And he says that what causes this mistake? In the world of Averis and Mitzvot, a mistake in Pshat, in a Mishnah Brura, is not the mistake we're talking about. One should not make a mistake in Pshat Mishnah Brura, and one should be careful, but that's not the realm of a person's Kovus HaNefesh. We're not speaking about that das in terms of a simple arithmetic error about if this is this then this is this. That doesn't belong in the world of Avodas Hashem. It belongs in the world of Pshat and learning. It's just like you have a lot of times the way we learn Tanakh. So we don't explain to our kids that so-and-so was a bad person. We explain he made a mistake. He thought that this should have been and that should have been. It's correct, but sometimes misleading, that approach. No one ever got punished for an honest mistake. Honest mistakes are honest mistakes. If a person racked his brain and he came up with an answer and it's not right, well the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not Bar Bitruvin B'Yosef. That's not those mistakes. If the Machlokas Yosef and the brothers was shot in Shema Shemasa L'Shema or any one of that genre of then there wouldn't be a Machlokas the Din Ben Noach or Din this. That in itself is not cause for bringing Kaius onto Golos and after Ruge Malchus and Kaius and Malchus fixed up Malchus. So that doesn't come from that. What we mean to say is a person made a wrong decision based on a perspective rooted in something other than pure emes. For instance, the word pikeach in Lashon Kodesh means a smart man. I once read about a great CEO of a big firm that, and this was a long time ago, that crashed and got a lot of stress, whatever. But one of the things when they were going through the papers was that this person actually, quote unquote, invested $20,000 or $40,000 in a Nigerian, fax. Mister, please send me money. I'm very rich and need money, and you get lots of money. Yeah. And this person was head of a huge complex. And you ask yourself, was he lacking in calculating power? Was that the issue? The answer was no. Because the person was greedy, then that colored his tfisa. When you're talking about the tfisa understanding in a sense like this, we're not talking about dry calculating power. We're talking about a person's sense of things, which is partially seicheldik and partially who we are.
Self-perception, is that what you're
It's how I look at things based on who I am. It's like the Gemara. The good example is the Gemara of Yosi. It says that Yosi went with a person that's considered that we understand to be Yeshu, also Ish. And the innkeeper was a very nice woman, and Rabbi Yosi marked, oh, what a fine woman she is. And to which also Ish said, but their eyes are bloodshot, they're not really pretty. And he said, oh, Reika, you know, that's either Chas V'Shalom, that's right, that, you know, it happened to be things of impure thoughts, and it was Matchim Mishdei Yadayim. So Reb Chaim Shalom Tzur used to say, well, I can understand that he was thinking that, but why did he think that his Rebbe was remarking about a figure? Like why? And he said, he coined, Reb Chaim Shalom Tzur's greatest coining, but he said, the Menuvel thinks everybody's a Menuvel. In other words, it's a perspective of things in evaluation which is partially rooted in Das, and partially the person, and this is the next piece, let's see it inside. Ki kasha choyte shov b'tshuva misalik atma madrega chumris shahoya b'yachet hamagia ad hamadrega hanivdelis umipneikach nechsa loy chato mitara tshuva chato mitara tshuva shato imet boi b'shkoga ki ashkogu mitara choyma shemvat asichli. So if a person himself, and this is the point that he means, a person's shgogos, a person's mistakes that we're accountable for, are mistakes built because our seichel is half buried in our physical self and in our chomer, and that's why it's skewed, because a part of what we see is not built on a pure perspective, it's built on a little bit of a self-perspective. For instance, if you're an outsider and you watch Reuven ask Shimon to please come for a meal, you can, as an outsider, would probably make a good evaluation, does Reuven really mean him to come, or is he just being polite? Shimon can't make that evaluation 100% the way you can make it. He's also hungry. So he's going to say, of course he means it, in the degree that his stomach is a factor in thinking about this, it's going to be a decision that's somewhat skewed. The shkogos that we talk about, where shkogo means a mistake, is shoyge, a person wandering off, a person mistaken, is a shoyge, and that's built on the fact, because we're half buried in Chomer, we don't quite make an honest understanding of something. And as a person does tshuva, there's a lifting himself away from it, and he sees things a lot more clearly. A lot of times, we have to make a decision, right? Now, this is kosher, not a fleshic already, 101 decision like that. You think of it differently when you're there and when you look back at it. A lot of the things that we do tshuva on Yom Kippur, it's sort of because once we're out of it, we do see it clearly. And then we realize we perceived it wrong because we were involved in our physical self, our chaimer, and that's where we made that mistake. So that's the first part of... So if a person, gedola tshuva, zedona tashin shkogos, is because tshuva is a process that, like he says before, it lifts the person up. A tshuva is a movement of a person towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the first thing that happens in that movement is ability to see things from a more seichelik. I mean in the personal sense of the word. In other words, he's looking at what is das, and as in a way that the das is not mired so much in his physical self. That's the first stage of tshuva, and that's the gdola tshuva. Yes? Well, hopefully, you. The Yetzirah was a little more subtle the next year. You didn't quite go back to that same situation, and you know, you saw it a little bit differently. I would assume most people, you know, if you keep telling yourself it's wrong, you sort of move away a drop, and sometimes the saying is more difficult. But yes, if a person, when he wises up, and if a person realizes, if it comes to realization, it usually has to be pretty bad for him to make that same mistake a second time. You know, I once heard of... I'd like to tell of a Maisa. Sometimes this is true the other way around. There was a Yid, he didn't leave over anyone, I think. The Mirror Rav, Rabbi Avraham Tzvi had a son-in-law, Rabbi Sokolovsky. I remember him really well. Rabbi Sokolovsky was in the mirror, he was known as a very sharp wit, a tremendously funny person, and Kedush Yerushalayim became a very big tzaddik and a kanoi, and he was a tremendous el-chayid. They had no children. He was a short man. He lived near the yeshiva, come and learn occasionally. Very, very big tzaddik. He has his own koilo. And one of the things that he was very active in was Shabbos. He had like a chevesh shomer Shabbos, and he went out to stores. And, you know, like the man was like old-fashioned. In those days, China was a little small enough city where he tried to get Eger to stop going here on Shabbos. Very, very actively involved. In, an ish toiv all the way. At his hesped, as Levaya, he was also a tremendous bal chesed. He was a pauper, but I know he always had stocker monies and gemach and stuff. At a Levaya, somebody was masked at him, I guess the person who ran a lot of his inyanim, and he said, he once called him in, Reb Doiv, and he said, I gave somebody a very large loan. He gave me an address and something else in a different city, somewhere in Batyam, or who knows where, and he hasn't come, he has notified me, anything. I'm beginning to worry that I'm never going to get money back, the person may be a fraud, I don't know. He went down to this place, the street didn't exist, the address didn't exist, nothing existed. It was, you know, like Harav Lenivra, someone just simply scammed him off. So he came back and he said, Dave, you know, I mean, you're a big tzaddik, but you've been running this huge gemach and this and stock it. You're not stupid, like, what happened? And he said, I'll tell you, I remember exactly what happened. A yid came to me Friday lunchtime. At that time, Gruzina Yidin and Georgian Jews had immigrated to Israel. It was in the early 70s. And a lot of them, all the Shashvili names are Georgian. And a lot of them were employed, the government, the job, the default job for these people was to work as porters in the airport, in the Green Airport. And it was, Shabbos was a regular day, you had to work Shabbos. And these Yidin who had always been Shabbos were Mechal Shabbos. They came to me and he said he's a Georgian Jew and he has to work Shabbos. Someone offered him to buy a kiosk for something like 11,000 lirot. And if he buys that, he's called to Shabbos and he's able to keep Shabbos. So Abdul told him, I heard the word Shabbos, I became drunk. My mind stopped working. I just grabbed whatever money I had, gave it to him, and said, do it now and start keeping this Shabbos. And I remember the word, he said, I've chogel tevot Shabbos b'chivon ha-shikah. And it was a very genuine. I have to. Dov was not capable. He was as straight as they come. And I was upon him. It can sometimes be the other way around. Also, you know, ashrei the person who has that. But I can put in depth this part. What's next? Umakshe ve'omar ish lakish doylet shuvah shadayim haskis kuyos umetaras lekash roshesav me'ava shamayira. Dov is the inyan amoyk me'oyt a chashav me'ava. Nasas doines mosuyos. Ki ze shechota v'shov al Hashem Yisparach hu yoyse mekubul merutz Hashem Yisparach. Ki ein chidush im atzadek shu bal tzedek ba'atzmoy shu im Hashem Yisparach. Avla choyta she shov al Hashem Yisparach kmo ze shechota Hashem Yisparach v'kashu shov al Hashem Yisparach da b'zeu yoyse. Ki odom shu bo merochay kmo ishu achoyta shnach ma Hashem Yisparach u ba'atul istabek. Let's talk about this and explain this because this is deep in the Kuda. And we explained a person has meisim, a person does things practically, and those are the mitzvahs and so on. They come, the decision to do what the person is doing is what we call seichel. It's his perspective, it's his understanding, it's his evaluation, all of those cerebral activities together as a package, we'll call it das or seichel. There's a deeper nekuda than that. At the end of it all, there is a nekuda, the root of the person is, we'll call it koach harotzim. For instance, let's go back to the example we gave. At the very, very bottom end of it, there is something that we can only describe as the real rutzen of the person. For instance, let's go back to the muscle we gave. A person wants attention. So he may want to get it by acting nastily, by doing X, Y, or Z. So what I do is I say, listen, granted your rutzen is to get attention, and that's who you are, and that's what you are, your evaluation of the situation is wrong. and we correct the evaluation, say, not by splashing money at people, not by annoying people, but by doing this, this, or the other, will you get that? There's a deeper chelek of avoda where I say to the person, is that really your rotzen? Try pursuing that and see if that's what you really want or you feel you're missing something. In other words, the rotzen itself sometimes comes with an outer shell and the person thinks this is what he wants, and then he realizes, for instance, a person who pursues things that are gashmias very much and he wants it, he likes it. At some point the person may feel dissatisfied and then something will bring out something else. A person who never has feelings for somebody else may be touched by something and then he discovers in himself a nekuda, a ratzon for chesed or rachamim that he never felt he had. So this is a much deeper and very different process than the first process. And let's look at it in different ways. Yira means, the opposite of yira is hestaponim. Because Shlomo's not around, nobody's here, it's okay to sneak in, to sneak out, to do whatever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu enlightens a person understands better, understands differently. The person who was Madrich me tells me, you know, this is not the smart way to get it, there's a better way to get it. And there what's changed was somebody from the outside revealed to me a fact. There's no new, nothing in me has changed. Nothing in me has become different. It's an outside thing showing a certain objective reality. That's the world of Yira, Shegeg, Seichel, Da. There's a much deeper level where a person in the world of Ratzon, when something peels away, I realize what I thought was my Ratzon was actually an outer shell. And there's a much deeper nekuda of rotten in me, and what I want, I want different things that is a different world. For most people who've experienced people growing up and at some point in a yeshiva, even people grow up from, some in a yeshiva you get turned on or flip out or whatever, depending on you know how you want to describe it. What happens is the person never felt ruchnius, and it's not that you know somebody painted with him and said ahar nahi. The person, all of a sudden, he had a feeling that he never had before, and he's megala a nekuda of rotzen in himself that he wasn't aware of and never knew it existed there. That gilui is a profound gilui for many reasons. First of all, it is something which comes from the person himself, rather than the outside, which is always a much stronger Indian. It's something which brings a real nekuda of chiddush to the world that wasn't there before. In other words, in the world of Shogeg, X was mistakenly labeled as such. In the world of changing your rutzen, what's happening is it was a nekuda that had yet to come out. It wasn't just that nobody had pointed it out, or I'd made a mistake. There was no mistake. This was my rutzen, and then I got a more pneumistic rutzen. And that is called Ahava. Ahava comes from the person himself. It's not, you are owed something outside, but Ahava comes from me. Yira is imposed on me, and Ahava comes within me, and Ahava brings out a chiddush that had been there before.
In the famous Rambam, it seems like he really wants
correct.
So, but yet with the kriya is coming from outside.
The Rambam is coming to answer that point. The Rambam is coming. The point that Shlomo made is very correct. The problem is there are two places that the Torah says you need ratzon, not das. Das needs for everything. If you do a mitzvah without das, while you're sleeping, almost nothing works, except for yibum possibly, but most everything else needs das. There are two places that you need ratzon. On all mitzvahs yukolfa, you need for a carb mitzvah or tzono, ratzon, and a get needs to be ratzono. And the Rambam has to explain that sometimes the kfiya allows for a ratzon to emerge. But if we wouldn't, Lamashal, let's give a very good example. If a guy takes a stick to him and beats him to give a get when he's not mukhiyyib to give a get, even though the person has the same, two people, both are being beaten to give a get, one person is being beaten because Allah says so, and the other person is being beaten because somebody wants to beat him to give a get. Both people are submissive, and yet one is kasha get, one is pasla get, because there's an axiom that the person b'fnim wants to do what's right, and if it's the right thing to do it, then what we were megala was a rutzen, and the kfiya was just to get rid of some excessive stuff. So again, the rutzen was there inside, because we assume every neshama wants to do what's right. Just like when you deal with a child that's delinquent, troubled, or whatever, criminal, you can only deal with it if you start with an axiom that b'fnim b'fnim, there's an akuda that really wants to, and we got to get rid of a lot of baggage that's piled up that he thinks are himself but are not really himself. But if you don't make that axiom, it's not going to be rotten. So tshuva me'ava is a very, and he says adarava, the reason why it became a schuyot is because the averis. But a lot of times, an example, I mean, you find people, especially from the old door, I remember that Yisrael, you had people who were born from, raised from, went to yeshivas, went off the derech, drifted off for many, many years, and then they would start coming back again. And it was a sense of, you know, this is not what I want. It took many years for me to realize that all of this I thought is what I wanted, but I want something a lot deeper than this, a lot more, you know, it's a certain revelation. It's not as if all the years I know what I wanted, I made a mistake how to get to it. It's a certain gilui of what it is that I wanted. And the richuk in that case is, in other words, it sort of brings out much stronger the deep nekuda of ratzon that lay in that richuk. When you do find somebody whose activities and everything else is criminal, and then you discover a nekuda, I just off the top of my head, I remember very vividly a scene as a young boy that I saw that was kind of moved me terribly. It shook me. The yeshiva I went to was RJJ. I don't know if any of you are familiar with New York. The old RJJ, RJ Madura Kama, not today's RJJ. It was a very big community school. The type of school is no longer popular. They took all the kids in the area, Mikodlat Cotton, everybody was included in the yeshiva. The yeshiva also had a distinction of being two blocks away from Bowery Street, which in those days was Skid Row. All the drunks, Lo'aleinu, people who drank themselves out of society, ended up Bowery. Bowery was a kimi, Bowery bum. That was two blocks in the yeshiva, three blocks in the yeshiva. And some of them, the more, I guess, traditional, whatever, the people who knew, would wander into the yeshiva to sleep at night, to lay there. I mean, it was very, very not pleasant, but they would come to MTJ, which was one block away, and RJJ, and they would be there on a cold winter night, they would be there to pick some food. It was. I don't know if any of you have those memories. They really were, I mean, they looked, saw them bloated and blue and purple and ruddy-faced and old clothes reeking and so on. And there was one that was an uncle of a boy in yeshiva, and he would come occasionally. And I once passed him by. It was late for him, and he said, "I'm good for nothing. I'm a bum. I'm gone. But my nephew, he's going to be a rabbi, and he's really going to be a rabbi." And it shook me. I couldn't even. You know, just a very, very. I don't know. It's creepy. It just shook me a lot. But there was a sense that within a whole wad of what seemed to be notorious Adam, there was a deep nekuda there. The giluim of those deep nekudas are a positive accomplishment. In other words, when the person who wandered off in as much as the person wandered off because his retzainus were off, and the person changes that, so there's a gili over there of an akuda that hadn't been revealed in the world yet. Mitzad the person himself. So it's not just a mistake that's changed, but a positive thing that came out. That's the gedola tshuva mi'ava, that it brings out something else. And then he brings a mashal. Ki kemoy sheitira, ki adam shubo mirochoy, kemoy sheachoyte sach ma'ashem yisprach, ba'at es davu yisprach, in sofik sheatvekus hazeh hu yoyse. I'm old enough to remember the beginning of the tshuva movement, and which was, I guess, in the 70s. And in my days, people were frum became not frum. Nobody who was not frum became frum. And it came with a logic. I mean, why would somebody who's not frum, unencumbered by any inhibitions, especially in the 60s when no inhibitions encumbered anybody, and would want to put on himself tayag mitzvah? Didn't make any sense. The people were still there, you sort of held on to it. And it's a cure of men sort of holding on, and sort of the people in around sort of keeping. But the idea, it's a phenomenal gilui that a person who has nothing, who's there, something is buried in him that awakens and wants it. There's a gilui there, that itself is a schus, meaning it's an accomplishment. So since the richuk itself is the hechatimsa for that, that becomes a schus. And it's certainly not for a person who does l'chatchila, you know, after Vashav is usher and it's wrong and a person doesn't have, but since it's something that brings it out, that's where it becomes a schus. And he gives a mashal. Ki kemoisha tirev v'yisoyda eish kashu l'mato m'sneya l'mala u'bevadei dovaze b'shul goydul hadivuk sheish l'eish l'amayla af shu rochak m'mekoymoy hushovo m'koymoy asher l'eish t'veiko shom l'gamri. This is built on an understanding. The Tanya brings at the beginning. Also, it was an understanding the way Kadmonim understood the heaven of the world. Why fire always flickers? Their understanding was that the root of fire, so to speak, is in a higher Shemayim, like by the Levana, and all the fires are kind of jumping towards it. And that's why, no matter how far away it is, it's still jumping towards it. It's nimshach to it. I want to use a contemporary mashal, which I think is extraordinary. It's one of the things, when we think of the different kochos in the Bria, the koach of most energies sort of explode. They go outwards. They push away. And that has a certain amount of force, and at some point, you measure chemical forces, atomic forces, it goes from tremendous amount to zero. Gravity is the only force that there's no zero. There's no such thing of something not having effect. The effect is extraordinary, minuscule. A tiny grain of sand is pulling at the world. It's not only pulling at this world. It's pulling at the furthest star away. It's a quantity that's extraordinarily tiny, but it's there. There's no limit to it. Everything in the Bria has a certain mishicha to everything else. We understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's just finish off with this piece here. V'cheinu me'medrash al ager v'ahavtem as ager ze sheniach mekoyme beis avoysof ubo alechem lizgayo lizdavik bachem v'ahavtem as ager. In other words, Ger is somebody that the Mida was Ava, and Bemela, that's the Mida that should reflect back to him. We reach out to the one that came Merochov because he's the bigger Ohev. In the world of Ava, the one who came in from the far is the bigger ohev than the one who was there before. The gili of Ava and the Bria, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is much more powerful from the rachok than it's in the karev. Let's finish the paragraph so we'll have something done. Ulekach na'ashom rachok, yeah, koyim ha'ashom ha'dibuk, ודובר זה מצד שהוא מזכך נפשו לגמרי כאשר תשוב בתשובה או לקח נפשו להזדהם שזכויות. The person has completely changed his self because the rutzen of the person is the pnimius of the person, and if he's changed his rutzen, that's total. כי הזאת שרוחק בעצמו שישרחק או בא השם יסברך מויר זה הדיבר קוראים יסברך. The zodin has turned into the platform to be megala that kesha.
So just sum up. So basically, in the world of tshuva, we have a practical one. People do things that are wrong. People should change it. And we don't mean to be mimayit any of that. Certainly, if we do wrong, you have charata, you change it, you say vidu, and so on and so forth. Those are all emes to be metak in a person's maisim. But the real dag of tshuva, in a sense that we're talking about affecting fundamental differences in a person and in the Bria, go on two levels. The first one is we don't change or show changes in our Ratzon, because that's an incredibly difficult and it's a process of reawakening sense. But rather, it's a mistake. In other words, we understand between the person's inner rutzen to the person's actions, it's his perspective on how that rutzen will realize itself that the person makes those mistakes. That's built a lot because our evaluation of things and the way we deal with things is half determined by our physical self and our emotional self, and not seichel and not das. And the tikkun for that is to lift above it. So one element of Yom Kippur, when we do on Yom Kippur the things we do that lift us above chaimah, we fast, everything we do that we separate us away from it gives us a chance to have a more seichel-dikah perspective on things. We understand things better, and when our tfisa of things is not the ben chaimah. And that tshuva is a very powerful tshuva, and it makes our ma'isim teshkaga. It by realizing that our perspective was skewed, and this ma'isim was not a ma'isim with das, we've done a tremendous tikkun in that area. And then there's a much deeper tikkun. In other words, in as much as Yom Kippur is megala the ava of a person like a shbrochu, the uplifting chaylik, not the refraining, only the refraining from the things we do in chaymah, but the nekudas of ruchnius that are tshuka takadosh baruch hu, they succeed in waking up in us a rutzen that we weren't even aware existed. That's a profound change, and it allows a person. If the person says, "All my life, I thought I'd get attention by doing X, Y, Z, and I realize it's stupid, it's foolish. That's not the way to get attention or to be liked. This is the way to do it." That's a great realization. It means I've wasted 10 years of my life. It was a learning curve, as they speak. But I've learned it. Good. The second one is it really popularity that will make me happy? Is this really what I want? I had a feeling about things that are good. And that's so much more powerful. It's so much more meaningful. I did something, the Shema, nobody saw it, nobody knows it. It's me, not Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it means so much to me. And that, it took all those years of what wasn't to realize what is. I remember just to finish off, I guess. When I used to be in Esha Torah, there was a tkufa when I was one of the people that would I'd make schedules for people to come to yeshiva, something like that, something along those lines. And there was a fellow sitting who had become a Baal Tshuva together with his brother a few years before. His brother was an Ilui, and his brother took off in learning and became a tremendous Tam Kochum. I even think he ended up in Eshol at some point. And really, his brother was a good, decent guy, but didn't make it, got very frustrated, left it all, became an investment banker, had a bachelor's pad in Chelsea, and lived the life of a Manhattan bachelor to the tilt, and then now he's coming back. And he was very kind of negative. He doesn't want to learn this, he doesn't like this, he does like this. But somewhere along the line, I lost my patience, and I said, if nothing's good for you, so why'd you come back? And he looked me straight in my eyes, and he said, "Rabbi, had I found one thing worth staying for, I assure you I wouldn't be back." This person today actually works in Kiev, very, very successful, very effective person. I mean, he's a very good, very, very, very good person, very positive person. But it took those years made him realize where his Ratzon really is. That the Ratzon for Toiv in a Ruchni sense is a very different Ratzon than physical things, and that became his Ratzon. So we should be Zeicha certainly to do tshuva. We're talking about a lifetime pattern, not when you keep it alone. We should be able to impact in the Ma'asim, be able to see things clearly and with a perspective of emes, and to be zeicha to bring out those nekudas of Ratzon, those pnim of Ratzon. And even if you do it once in a lifetime, the whole lifetime was worth it for that moment. It's an extraordinary thing. A person could be kol yomav doing wrong, but if there's a tshuva mi'ava, then it all became the platform for that eventual place, and an entire life becomes a chuyas, a tremendous thing. Okay.
You say that the chiluk that you're making is at a certain level, the chiluk between Harata and Pesach.
Pesach
is
that I have a new